contains all the essentials of our faith. Let me end by noting, our Father, who art in heaven. God is in heaven, where we hope to be. There is no true joy anywhere in the world except in heaven. Maybe we ought to ask, how is the first petition which we've just completed related to the others? This first petition contains all the others. Thy kingdom come. That's all we are ever praying for and asking God to fulfill. Rule like the others. This petition is fulfilled in Christ's own priestly prayer at the Last Supper when he says, Holy Father, in your name, protect those whom you have given to me. And we sure need protection. The next petition, Adveniat Regnum Tuum, Thy kingdom come. The word Basileia, kingdom, is translated in the New Testament over the century by the church as kingdom. And the reason, of course, because the church is a kingdom headed by no less than Christ the King. We might say the kingdom of God was brought to us by the incarnation. Christ uses no word more frequently than Basileia. Kingdom comes to us in the Eucharist. That is what the Eucharist is all about. The kingdom of God coming literally, physically into our bodies in anticipation of an everlasting kingdom to which we, please God, shall belong. Here we come, when Christ hand the kingdom over to his Father. Or to Saint Cyprian, I like to quote the saints. We may even say that the kingdom of God is Christ in person. We desire his coming daily. To what, we ask, does this petition of the Lord's Prayer mainly refer? It mainly refers to the coming of Christ on the last day. The church is established, that have had a mission fulfilled. We pray, and let's say we pray that this mission will be accomplished by the Holy Spirit, and please God, will include us. One thing we should hear, maybe the 50th time in our retreats, not everyone will enter that kingdom after the last day. Who alone, we ask, can truly say, Thy kingdom come? Only those who have heard it, fought the decisive battle between the flesh and the spirit, or better, between our spirit and the spirit of Christ. Only those, see the saints of the church, only those who purify themselves in their actions, thoughts, and words can say to God, "Thy kingdom come." My friends, let's be clear. Life in this world is a battle. A battle, the last knows, between us and the forces of evil that are literally hell-bent on destroying us. It's impossible to exaggerate the importance of two kingdoms. The kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the devil. In our country, the devil is, well, a form, shall I say, of cursing. But the devil is real. We should remind ourselves, having fallen, the devils were not given the opportunity to repent. Then we ask, who alone can truly say, "Thy kingdom come"? Only those who have fought the decisive battle between the flesh and the spirit. Only those who have purified themselves in their actions, thoughts, and words can say to God, "Thy kingdom come." I've, you know, how many years? Ordained in 1947. Years in the priesthood. I've been telling one audience after another, not everyone will be chosen. That is an article of the Catholic faith. Not everyone will reach heaven. And we know exactly who will not reach heaven. Those who drew their lives on earth and not finally and fully submitted their wills to the will of God. Question, strange one. Should we distinguish between the growth of the kingdom of God and the progress of society in which we live? We better distinguish. Hear it. There is no necessary connection between the growth of the one and the growth of the other. In other words, human society can bulge, grow immensely, like our own nation. In all the while, the United States, I say this with conviction, the Catholic Church is in the most difficult, demanding condition in the world, in the United States. Detroit, where I come from, in own clothes, 40 churches, without a reason, and one result, of course, of the closing of churches, has been the widespread loss of faith. Now the question, are these two societies, the one which is the Church of Christ and the other which is the kingdom of Satan, are those two separated? By no means. We belong to both. Our vocation to eternal life does not suppress, but rather is reinforced by our duty to use our God-given means, everything we can, to replenish, fill the kingdom of this world with those who belong to the kingdom of Christ. Final question on this area. How is this petition offered and answered in the prayer of Jesus at the Last Supper? Jesus, as we know, prayed to his Father for the advent of his kingdom by the sanctification of his followers on earth and the attainment of heavenly glory in the life to come. Christ's prayer has been answered by the assurance of the grace we need. We can all enter heaven. But I must say this, and all who call themselves Christians or Catholics, or for that matter, bishops or priests, can we say will enter heaven? The next petition. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is God's will done everywhere by everyone? Absolutely no. What is the basic will of God? It is, as Saint Timothy relates, that everyone should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That is God's will. God wants everyone to reach heaven. I could talk and talk for hours on the distinction between what God wants and what human beings want. He is God. He sure is. But this God, who is truly divine, truly omnipotent, will not say it. He will not coerce anyone to save his soul. There is one truth of our faith that should be underlined and emphasized. It is, God coerces no one. There's no one in heaven or on earth who more deeply respects our freedom than God. The basic will of God is that everyone should be saved. God wants everyone to reach heaven. Where do we begin? Not just start another retreat, but speak for months. The will of God is clear, for the will of God will not be attained by everyone in this world. We have a free will. Repeat it. We have a free will. Repeat it. We have a free will. It is so free, so frighteningly free, we can actually say no to God. If we ask, therefore, does everyone do the will of God? And the answer is an emphatic, no. And I like to quote over the years the statement of St. Peter in his second letter. He told the first century Christians, I quote, God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. 2 Peter 3:9. It's the human will, that if used according to the will of God, will bring us to heaven. Otherwise, this will of ours will bring us exactly where we know, to hell. God is patient, and his patience is demonstrated in his forbearance, is tolerating our sins to allow us to reform. I just hope you don't think I'm spouting piety. Not everyone will reach heaven. Who will not reach heaven? Those who do not do the will of God. Then we logically ask, is there one basic, most fundamental commandment of the will of God? The commandment that Christ gave us at the Last Supper, said Jesus, my commandment is that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you too should love one another. When I see the United States, the ratio of divorces to marriages, when I see the ratio of children born and children who are killed before they can be born, I say to myself, Lord, what you commanded us is very widely disobeyed. We do the divine will by loving everyone whom God puts into our lives. Well, let's be clear, this loving others does not mean we're only embracing everyone we cross on the streets. We may say, on this commandment of God, or wish of the Son of God become man, is a synthesis of all the other divine commandments telling us to do God's will. Let's spend a few minutes on this crucial commandment of Jesus Christ. God puts many people into our lives. He puts pleasant people, nice people, kind people. He also puts unpleasant, unkind, difficult, demanding. Go on with the adjectives. We are to love everyone. We are to show our special love for those who obviously do not love us. And if we ask who has given us the best example of doing God's will in this way is no one else than Jesus Christ, nailed to the cross, crucified, murdered. Why? Because he loved everyone, including those who he reprimanded, shall I say, scolded, told they were doing wrong, and they rose up against him. Remember, Christ had just raised whom from the dead?
Lazarus.
The man dead for several days, whom Christ raised from the dead. As soon as that miracle was performed, enemies of Christ decided this is too much. They won't stop him. They said the whole world will follow him. We go on. Where do we get the strength to do God's will? Clearly, only from God, who became man, who died on his cross to merit for us the strength we need to be saved. We are living, I think I should say this, we are living in the most heretically saturated age in history. What then is our prayer? Our prayer is to unite our wills with the will of Christ, so like him, we too might do God's will, even though it may mean our death. Let me tell you, the simplest way the world can put us out of the way is to kill us. But let me assure you, the world is smart. We'll kill only those whom they cannot otherwise control. We are to expect, I mean this, expect to be killed by the world. I think I should add this too. So many people, so many Catholics, sadly, so many bishops and priests cultivate the art of avoiding conflict with the world. Oh, how smart we are. How clever we are. We know what to say, what not to say, to avoid embarrassment by being faced by the world for us honestly striving to live the truth. What are we really asking for in this petition of the Lord's Prayer? You're asking to follow the teaching of Christ in many ways. Just to mention the four principal ways. And asking to follow the teaching of Christ, first to be humble, which we can see with our virtue of humility. It does not depend on us, but mainly on the grace of God. You cannot be humble by your own power. This petition inspires us to pray not only for ourselves, but for the whole world. I recommend you all ask yourselves, before this retreat finishes, whom are you praying for? And I mean this, and by name. The other day, I offered a mass for a man, very prominent, 4 years, had been my sworn enemy. What are we asking for in this petition? We are asking to pray that error may be banished and the truth be established throughout the world. Oh Lord, how this petition needs to be answered. The error will be banished. Banished from the teachings of the church officially, but of even members of the hierarchy. We pray that vice and sin be destroyed, virtue may flourish, so that our earth should become more and more like heaven. And we're living in a world in which the very opposite is being verified. We ask, how is the will of God done in heaven? The will of God is done in heaven by everyone. Everyone in heaven does the will of God. That's how they got there. The will of God is done by everyone perfectly in heaven. The will of God is done distinctively. Hear this. No two of us are required to do God's will in exactly the same way. For example, there are people who practice patience, great patience, to live with us. Will God is done lovingly in heaven. No envy, yet no two people in heaven are equally happy. No two saints in heaven possess the same gifts from God, yet no envy. The will of God is done in heaven cooperatively. Everyone cooperates with everyone else. No competition. Finally, and best of all, everyone in heaven does God's will and enjoys the experience. This question is very practical. What are the two, let's call them essential graces, for which we are praying in this crucial petition of the Lord's Prayer? They are the graces we need in the mind and in the will. We need grace in the mind. We're asking for light. Lord, what should I do now? And you better know, only God can enlighten you. I have lived a life that for the last 40 years I've had to ask God daily, not just once a day, Lord, what do you want me to do? Shall I say it? When I had superiors who told me to do things and my conscience told me were contrary to the will of God, what else could I do? I'll go back to the superiors, smile, very gentle, very kind, but say, sorry, I cannot do it. If you don't do it, you'll be fired. Sorry, Father Provincial. Then fire me. Oh, the big thing I could write on the experience of being fired. We ask another question. What is Christ's warning about reaching heaven? He tells us, no one enters the kingdom of heaven by words, but, as he says, by doing the will of my Father who is in heaven. Thus, we're being told, our prayer is indispensable to obtain the grace. We must hear it. We, you, individually, and I, we are the ones who finally determine whether we will reach heaven or not. We must cooperate with the grace of God. Now, a question should be asked. Are we sure that God listens to our prayer for His grace? I can tell you, life can be very difficult. It is most difficult when to what we consider God's will is so demanding that we are told to do what others are not doing, and we are told to do it even though we have no other example except the example of Jesus Christ in doing it. Do we get the grace? Yes. But let me add, in St. John's Gospel he says, if anyone does the will of God, God listens to him. In John 9:31, you want your prayers answered, especially to do the humanly impossible, you must do God's will. If you don't do God's will as generously and with God's grace you can, then you will not receive the strength to do God's will. We pray for grace, as we should. God will give us the grace. But then, the most important adverb in any language, but then, we must do God's will. Otherwise, we shall not obtain the graces we need to continue doing the will of God. And then a question on which the whole of our life depends. What is the most powerful prayer of petition we can make to God? It is the prayer of the Holy Eucharist. This is why we are told to receive Holy Communion. Remember, we said this. At least, every day. Where in the Holy Eucharist is the one to whom and with whom we are praying is the incarnate Son of God. When I'm speaking this way to you, I must say, I presume some things. I presume that your life is not always easy. I presume that God makes sometimes humanly impossible demands on your will. I presume that you realize you got to beg God for the strength to keep going. And that strength, I repeat, is available only to those who regularly, frequently receive the living God in human form in the Holy Eucharist. Over the years, I've written on all kinds of subjects. One of the topics on which I wrote was the need of communion for sanctity. And as I keep living on and see what I see, that conviction becomes daily more deep. Without frequent communion, you cannot. I repeat the verb. You cannot live a good Catholic life. Cannot. And people think you're pious. So what? It is Christ Himself whom we receive in the sacrament of the Eucharist who can finally give us the strength we need in today's humanly impossible world to live in. I'm sure you've heard this before. The first three centuries of the Christian era were the age of martyrs. To become a Christian in the early church meant to expect to die for Christ. And they did die. And hear it. The record is, for the first 300 years, most Catholics received Holy Communion ogni giorno, every day. You might say they had to. In today's world, you're living in a, shall I say, a reincarnation of the early church. Never in the history of our country have there been more priests leaving the priesthood, more bishops unfaithful to their calling, more once Catholic schools than not Catholic even in name. You go to Mass on Sundays, and I'm told by the people in Detroit where I live, I cannot, they tell me, Father, I cannot any longer attend Mass in my parish church because of the way the priest behaves, or what the priest says, how the people behave in Mass. What we are asking to do God's will as Christ himself is doing the will of his Father. Yes. Christ in heaven is perfectly conformed to the will of his Father. We need that. Thy will be done in the church as it is done in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Unquote, St. Augustine. I used to tell retreatants to live a good Catholic life has never been easy. On the eve of the 21st century, I can change the statement to the will of God is not only not easy, it is, and I mean this literally, it is humanly impossible. We continue. And with this, we'll begin and close. We ask our Lord to give us this day our daily bread. What do we acknowledge in this mysterious petition? We recognize the goodness of God, who makes his sun to rise on the good and the bad, and sends his rain on the just and the unjust. What are we praying for? Asking God to give us this day our daily bread. First of all, we express our solidarity with the whole human race. What are we asking for? Are we praying for bread? We express our trust in God, gave us our life, also provide, hear it, for both the material and the spiritual nourishment we need to remain alive, both physically and spiritually. And do we ever need nourishment to keep alive spiritually in our day? At this point, I'd like to make a few observations. In the modern world, all kinds of people enter our lives. Our employers, our co-workers, people we meet, friends, relatives, and so on. Whatever resolution you make during this retreat, I beg you, make a list of the people with whom you will be friends. Watch what you say if you're right. Or some of this may not even be able to be written down. I know what I'm saying. There may be members, dare I say it, of our own family, with whom, of course, in the practice of charity, we are to be kind. We should choose our friends. Whatever you do before the retreat finishes tomorrow, in God's grace, make a selective list of those with whom you will be specially and consistently friendly. May not want to write the list out. Don't go around and tell people, Jim or Jean may not know this, but you're not among my list of friends. Use your head. We are deeply influenced by those with whom we associate. What a difference between being friendly with someone, allowing that someone to shape our lives. It's not easy, believe me. Being kind and gentle and patient with everyone. But in God's name, be selective. Selective on those with whom you are not only on speaking terms, but persons whom you allow, hear it, allow to shape your life. They may be important people in your life. They may be people whose judgment you are to follow. I live too long, too many years, with too many superiors, not know what I'm saying. You must be judicious and selective among those whom you are friendly with, whose example you follow, and whose lives you pattern for yourself to imitate. And this, my friends, is not easy. What a safe statement. What is our Christian responsibility to those who are living unholy lives? And there may be persons in our own families. I've been a priest now for 52 years. I've talked too many hours with too many fathers and mothers, brokenhearted over the behavior of some of their children. I repeat, be kind to everyone, but never, never compromise. Laugh easier said than done. Living as I do with others, I know what it means to live one's life according to God's will as I see it, and do what I believe God wants me to do, even though no one else does it. Oh, the patience we need, the forbearance we need, the wisdom we need. That is why, to close this meditation, how we need constant guidance from God in prayer. Lord Jesus, we beg you, direct our minds every moment of the day. Whatever we do will be done according to your will, because we have the wisdom to ask you. Lord, help me. I want to know what your will is for me now, at this moment. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son.
Amen.